Hey, this is Sunny. If you are listening to this, you are listening via the free feed, iTunes or Apple or Google Play or something. Probably not Stitcher. I don't think we're back on Stitcher. But the point is, if you're listening to this, you're not listening via the Patreon feed at subbeacon.com. That's subbeacon.com. You are listening via free feed, which we're going to try and get rolling again on kind of a regular basis. We've been putting, you know, the occasional free episode up to coax the folks who had been listeners and wanted to sign up and support us at the Patreon to do so. But, you know, we want to introduce new people to the show. It's hard to do that via Patreon. There's a little secret there. So if you're listening to this, you like the show, sign up now. There's going to be at least one new episode that you haven't heard, and probably many new episodes that you haven't heard, because there's a whole bunch of stuff there. And if you like the show, share it with a friend. We do enjoy having lots of people listen. And if you're listening at via the Patreon, we've got a nice little community of people who comment over there. So just go to subbeacon.com, sign up for the Patreon. It's as little as $1 a month. It's really not very expensive. It's less than a cup of coffee at Starbucks, right? So come sign up and you'll get lots of great stuff to listen to. Okay, now on with the show.
I used to be loved. I used to be a kid detective.
We're all really counting on you.
I was so far ahead of the game. But one day I just woke up behind.
This guy in my homeroom claims he practiced with the Mets. I need to find out if he's lying.
He's lying.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Jonathan V. Last and Sunny Bunch. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon is now available through Patreon. Go to subbeacon.com. You'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and don't forget about the Subbeacon merchandise store at tpublic.com. Gentlemen, how are we? JVL, what is going on?
I am tanned, rested, and ready.
Oh, that's great to hear.
I just got back from a week at the beach, which is not special, right? Here's the special. Now put the drink down. I don't want you to spit it all over. A week at the beach by myself.
What?
Boom!
How did you get to do that?
You must be worn and exhausted.
Were you down there building the doors to replace in yourself instead of, you know, paying $30,000 to have them done?
No, my beautiful, lovely bride said to me a couple of weeks ago, you know, you haven't really had a break in like 2.5 years. You need some time. You need some time to yourself. Go down to the beach. I got the kids. I said, well, I'll take some of them. She said, no, that defeats the purpose. Just go.
JVL, every time that you did your good deeds around the house, taking care of kids and things, and whatever it is you have to do, I always, in my mind, it's always like, stick that chit up your sleeve, right? And just wait. Just keep, is that the phrase? Chit?
That's,
keep your chits. And just, you know, and
I'm not 100% sure where you're going with this, anyway, you're sticking chits.
And then you cash out, then you can cash out those chits, and all of a sudden, aha, there's your week alone.
Cash out the chips.
You know what I'm talking about?
It was a great start to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Every morning, I took my coffee out onto the beach.
And onto your veranda?
No, out onto veranda? The beach. I have a deck. I have a deck, but I took my coffee out to the beach.
What's the difference between a veranda and a deck?
I think a veranda is a porch, is it not?
Yes.
I think a deck is bigger.
A veranda, I always think of cruise ship.
Is a veranda like a, is it attached to the house like above?
Yeah.
Is it like a?
Yeah, a veranda is like a little thing. It's a little thing. Like, okay. The deck is bigger.
Sorry.
Yeah. So I would put my coffee in my Yeti Rambler, which my beautiful wife got for me for exactly this purpose. And I went out and just sat on the beach and listened to some books. I listened to the entire Honorable Schoolboy, John Le Carré's second movement in his Carla trilogy. I read the entire Gospel of Luke, and I even read, Gospel of Luke, Gospel of John. I read the whole Gospel of John. Oh. And
he
I
was
even
there.
Read a book by Cicero.
Wow.
Look at I am a fancy gentleman reading great Roman philosophers.
And you've come back enlightened.
I do feel basically like I'm better than everybody else now.
That's fair.
Yeah, and for some reason, you have a lot of blisters on your hand.
Can I just
I just have this hair on my palms.
I'm going blind.
I have said this before on the show.
For a week, man, that's crazy.
I have said this before on the show, I believe, but I think The Honorable Schoolboy is my favorite of the Carla trilogy. I think it is actually the best of them, and I think that there is a really, really good sequel to Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, the Gary Oldman movie, to be made out of that book that like transposes some of the characters around. You give Tom Hardy the like broken-hearted lover role in The Honorable Schoolboy, and it like makes that whole it would make the whole thing work even better.
Did we do that by any chance for a show, Tinker Tailor, the Gary Oldman?
Ooh, I don't know.
I don't think we did.
I guess I watched that on my own, and I have to tell you, that did not do well in the quadrants.
Did not understand. I absolutely 100% did not understand that movie.
Wow, if Sonny Budge did it, then okay, because I gave it an F minus.
I mean, I was watching it at home, so you know, I wasn't necessarily watching it in the proper, you know, like pure focus on the screen, whatever. But I watched. I remember watching it and thinking, what the. What is happening in this movie? So then I read the book and then I watched it again. I was like, oh, okay, that makes perfect sense. All of this makes perfect sense.
I thought perhaps I needed to have watched some prequel or the Alec Guinness version in order to get what's going on.
Who read the La Carré?
I'm sorry, I have read the La Carré.
No. The audiobook, I mean.
Oh, the reader? I can effort that. It's somebody very good. I have to say, the book is a lot like that, too. I mean, so the book just throws you into the deep end, and you have to
You have to work.
Right. And it's such a fully lived-in world, and I am not the biggest La Carré stan in the world, but as a world builder and an observer of people, in addition to all the tradecraft stuff, man, is he good. And just the characters. I love Connie Sachs like crazy. I love Ricky Tarr. I love Fawn, who is this like psychotic, gay, brown-nosing, tiny little guy who is the biggest badass in England. So Fawn is John Smiley's babysitter. And so he's this little leprechaun of a guy who kind of reminds me of Brad Pitt's character from Snatch, the Pikey, right? And all he does is follow Smiley around, and he worships him, you know, and he's a huge kiss ass, and he's really obnoxious, and he's kind of fey, and he's also the biggest badass on the planet. And so, like, there are just these bursts of spectacular violence where Fawn will suddenly, you know, break some, you know, two arms of somebody, or, you know, kill a guy three times his size in 5 seconds because he just like, rah! It's stuff like that. It's so good. So good.
That's good.
Yeah. You know, Victorino, if you haven't done it, the BBC Alec Guinness Tinker Tailor is so good. Okay. I honestly think that Alec Guinness's portrayal of John Smiley might be the best screen adaptation of a character ever.
Okay.
I'm Ron Burgundy. Like, he's so perfect.
Good. I'll add that to my list.
So anyway, I was at the beach and it was amazing.
You know what I like?
Thank you, Shannon.
I love the sound of the beach. I love the sound of the waves.
I slept with our deck door in the bedroom because the master bedroom has a door out onto the deck. Just listening to the waves all night while I sleep.
It's meditative. It's meditative. Good for you. Good for you. I'm very
jealous. The best.
That's very nice.
Yeah. How are you, Victorino?
Nice. I'm doing fine. We'll get to me in a little bit. But Sonny, what's going on with you? How's that Geico insurance?
It's great. It's great. I got my money back, thankfully.
Yay.
So all's well that ends well. It's just a funny story.
I hope you really profile people coming to sell things to your house.
Anyone
selling highlights?
Anyone who shows up wants me to buy highlights for a children's hospital, you're out.
Good.
Boys life, get out of here. You creeps. No, it's fine. Okay. Nothing has happened to me this week. Nothing of interest. I am just at home all the time. And that's
You're not
about
out
it.
And about? It's,
no, I like I Beth got her second shot today, so in 2 weeks we will be able to go live our lives again.
Oh, right.
And we are currently strategizing like what restaurant do we want to go to first? Do we want to go to the little Italian place or do we want to go to the big steakhouse, you know? And it's this is my life now. This is the only thing I have to look forward to.
I got to say once you guys both feel Bill Gates' nanobots in your blood rearranging your DNA.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Well, I'm already there. I mean,
good.
I'm talking to you now from a Microsoft tablet Surface thing. I got rid of my MacBook Pro that I love, and I was like, give me this Microsoft crap.
No, I remember how weird it felt when I first went back to dining inside a restaurant last March.
Yeah.
It was, wow, this is crazy. How come I'm the only one without a mask? It was really weird. Yeah. I had a mask thing
happen to me today. I'm fully vaccinated, right? But you know, how is anyone to know that? Because it's not like I have the card.
I just tell people
taped to my forehead.
I just lie.
But I like
you haven't gotten vaccinated, Victorino.
I do not want that vaccine, but I'm probably gonna have to get it because you won't be able to go anywhere without it.
You got to get the vaccine, man. It's not like
that.
It's not like you're.
Funny.
You know.
I have been out and about with people indoors without masks for 13 months, and I have been completely healthy.
I think
Victorino.
I think JVL is like scrubbing his hands right now as you're talking.
Victorino, it takes a team of scientists working round the clock just to keep you alive as it is. The work they've had to do on the gravy blood that
that's
you have,
right. No, in
and
fact,
with your blood pressure,
yeah,
and
actually, no, blood
your
pressure,
your gout.
It was 105.
You can't
over
take chances.
105 over 65. I got great blood pressure, but no, the truth, it's more complicated
now,
than that. No, it's
now
more,
you've
yes,
got great.
That's right. Now that I run
with your flesh eating bacteria in your arm. This is
no. Well, as you know, all that changed. That was in 2015. And then the strep infection in my arm. But beginning in 2017, I got on a monoclonal antibody, Dupixent. It was the biggest breakthrough in dermatology because it just ended eczema. So I get this injection every other week, and it blocks interleukin-4, and it's a biologic drug, and basically, what it does is it tamps down inflammation and prevents cytokine storms. But what's the catch? The catch is you have to be on it for like 3 years. I've been on it for 3.5. So the NIH did a study of like 775 people on my medication for 3.5 years. Only 6 people got COVID. And those 6 were completely mild. So
basically, what you're saying is that you are immune. You are natural. You have the Wolverine blood.
I have it, but it's not. But it's not. I do, but it's not news because you can't get it now. It's like if you got it now, you'd have to get it an injection every other week for 3 years. But for those of us, Mount Sinai did a similar study, who are on it. We're in good shape.
I didn't even know. I didn't know you were getting an injection of miracle drugs every.
Kate gives me
every
the
2 weeks when you go to get
every,
your when you
every
go to get
2 weeks
when you go to get the blood of the 20-year-olds
not
yes. cycling through you.
You mean
like
she
Peter Thiel? Peter Thiel.
A little it something is, for the
oh,
effort
by
there.
The way, and
when
she
you
learned,
say Kate gives you the injection
she
every
learned,
2 weeks,
you, have
you mean
to remember,
with a syringe?
I also give an injection, but no, the injection that she gives. I have to remember not to get in a fight with her before the injection. That's happened where I've been like kind of pissy.
Jams it in there.
Also, if it's too early in the morning. Also, if she's hungover. Also, if, you know, I mean, so there's all various things. But over the last 3.5 years, she's gotten really good at it. And basically,
you ought to send her to the beach for a week by herself.
Have you ever thought about doing a Sammy Jenkins thing where you ask her to just keep giving you the shot over and over again and see what happens?
I've given the shot to myself once. I'm terrible at this. Like, you know, like how diabetics, you could just jam it in your leg.
What do you?
My aim is so awful.
You don't have to get it into a vein, like, I assume. You
what
just
was
like
that?
You don't have to get it into like a vein or anything.
No. Just, you know, you could stick it in your gut, 6 inches, you know, like to the left or right of your navel, but my aim was so bad, I bent the needle when I did that. Because I'm clearly that bad.
You are the son of a doctor.
I know. It's shameful. It's shameful.
It's the Wolverine blood. But it's turning him into a superhuman.
I know. I mean, it, really, everything.
Vic is going to... JBL, how are you reacting to the fact that JBL is going to... Vic is going to outlive both of us.
It's astonishing.
With his Wolverine blood.
It's the big... I talked to my doctor about it. He says it's the biggest thing that's ever happened in dermatology. But... Anyway, I probably could still have it for traveling purposes. I have to get a vaccine because, you know, a lot of countries, places do not, you know, they're good, you know, you need that passport thing probably. So
that passport thing. So have you gone out to any restaurants recently, Victorino?
Okay. I was out to lunch twice. This is an interesting thing because it's a sign that the pandemic is ending. That in fact I'm beginning to gain weight and go out more people are coming to me for lunch, and so I think last week, for example, I had two lunches with friends, and then this week also a dinner and a lunch. I got a lunch tomorrow, but I had dinner. Oh, and I had lunch on Monday, and then I had dinner last night, actually, with our good friend listener Dan and Mary Catherine Ham. And it was lovely. We went to Bourbon Steak. We had a great time. Sonny, you said you had some questions.
It was very funny because Mary Catherine sent a text of the elderly Asian tourist who she was having.
I looked jowly. My profile is not my best, but I said, take the picture. It's funny.
Why? That man needs trifocals.
And you know, keep in mind, I'm wearing our former sponsor, Warby Parker's. But I can't read. I can't read those things anymore.
MKH, what are you doing in Macau?
What was that?
Mary Catherine, what are you doing in Macau?
But I'm reading on my little iPhone SE. And so I can, you know, because they scan it, you know.
Question.
I was looking. You know what I got? I got a Ron Zacapa 23-year-old rum for just an after-dinner drink.
Question.
Yes.
At Bourbon Steakhouse, do you have to pull up the menu on your phone, or do they have actual menus there, like a civilized restaurant?
A lot of places have menus, like you can hold in your hand. Not Bourbon Steak yet.
Yeah, because the fomites are what has killed 600,000 people.
That's interesting.
This drives me crazy.
Also, that they also use, they had an iPad for like wine list and stuff, and Dan took care of that. But it was great.
All right. Seafood little... Tower?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wait, did you do the Wagyu?
Yeah, we did.
A little bit. Tell me about it.
It was like an explosion. And I forget. That's a bad word to use. It was really just a. It was like putting a melted pat of butter in your mouth. And here's the funny thing.
I don't like the texture of it. No, this is funny.
This is funny because I've had Wagyu on a handful of occasions, maybe 2 or 3 times in my life. Right?
Can you explain to anybody who is listening to this, which would include me, had I not gone to Bourbon Steak with you once?
A Japanese cow.
Okay,
but it's different from Kobe, right? Kobe is from Kobe,
but it's like a super pampered cow. It's like this cow. This cow lives like a king.
Okay, like a samurai king. They feed it beer and they massage it and everything else. But it has a very rich diet.
And you get like 2 ounces of it.
Well.
I think you have to order a minimum of three.
But you get what you can afford. But so the interesting thing is, I mean, the end result is the marbling is a lot, but it's very evenly distributed, the fat, versus like most steaks, you'll have the edge, which has a big lot of fat, and then it gets leaner in the middle. This is like speckled throughout. So they brought it out medium rare, and I have to say it was so remarkable. And I made sure I said, I'm not going to have a lot to drink because I want to remember the meal. And I did at that point. And it gets a little fuzzy
after the bottle of rum.
It was
that I ordered.
It was a glass, but it was incredibly delicious and memorable. It was really something else.
Which, did you get the I'm sorry, Victoria, how do you pronounce it again?
Wagyu. We will, believe me.
Did you get the sampler of it?
I'll be getting to some Japanese later on in the show. I've got a treat for you. Okay, go ahead. So I get a
seed. Did you get the little sampler that they
Brought out the fries. There? They had the truffle fries and then...
No, the Wagyu sampler.
It was like a little plate. He ordered a little plate for us.
The little plate.
And then I had my own steak. Just a small, a very modest 12-ounce New York strip. And then... and then some sides, and then I had a martini, and then
the Alaskan crab claw, lobster tail to start.
Whatever was in the tower.
Whatever was in the tower of seafood, the literal tower of seafood.
A king crab claw, and this, you know, the generosity of our listeners and friends is really something. It's a testament, really. It's a testament. So
Christopher Nolan, Sonny, was there shooting B-roll for Dark Knight Rises.
And so, Jonathan is the fellow Hoya. So, had a martini, had a terrific Zinfandel. The Zinfandel was called Problem Child from Paso Robles. I'd never had it before. It was amazing. I mean, even like, you know, where like in my stupor, I woke up. I said, hey, this is delicious. What is this? No, I actually do remember asking what it is. And the waiter said, this is called Problem Child. And Mary Catherine says under breath, yeah, you know all about that, she said to me. And then after that, I switched over and had an after dinner drink. And that was it. And that was my lovely evening with our friends. So thank you again to listener Dan.
I miss Dan. Yeah. I miss Dan.
His adventures.
I miss you too, Mary Catherine.
His adventures are amazing. And I have to tell you, I didn't sleep all that well, though, because I think my body was not used to sort of a late night of eating. Like, I got to get used to it again. So I would say that.
Work yourself back into shape.
Yeah, so I used to not be. And now I have to work myself back into shape because all he did was toss and turn. And then I felt a little bit of a little twinge, a little bit.
Oh, no.
In the middle of the night.
Sonny, do it. Do it.
Oh, God. I can't even remember the Gout Watch. There we go.
You forgot Gout Watch.
I forgot. It's been so long. Yes, it's been so long since we had a Gout Watch update.
But it came and went. It came and went, and I've been okay since. I drink a lot of water.
Did you do anything to stop it?
No. I mean, I just felt it. I felt a little bit, and then it just disappeared on its own. But it's unclear to me if it's because of the red meat and the shellfish and the alcohol, or after Ladies Book Club, Kate came back and brought some of Emily McLean's homemade granola. I've been eating the granola, and you know, oatmeal, that's another gout thing.
It's probably the oatmeal.
It is.
I would put money on it being the oatmeal.
Gout is such a great mystery. It's one of these things that we may never know we may never know what causes it. It's a great unsolved mystery, much like this movie we just watched over the weekend, but we don't do over the weekend anymore. Sorry. This week we are doing the movie The Kid Detective. Sonny, how about a big boy review?
Yeah, so The Kid Detective came out in October of last year. It came out in October of 2020. And like over the last month or two, I've seen people kind of mentioning it and talking about it and saying, oh, this is a good movie. I really liked it. You know, we should, people should see it. And so I was like, well, why don't we do that for a show? And we did. It's basically the elevator pitch is Encyclopedia Brown, but older. What would it look like if Encyclopedia Brown, a acclaimed child detective, got a little bit older and was still trying to do the detective thing and was terrible at it, and was not good at what he did. There are also kind of undertones of like Brick here, the Rian Johnson movie, and some other stuff. But it's not mannered and weird like that. It is a noir wrapped in a kind of what if Encyclopedia Brown got old and still did the thing. It stars Adam Brody as a 32-year-old who is now trying to figure out what to do with his life. His parents are like, I'm not bailing you out anymore. He lives with a terrible roommate. He has a snarky, mean assistant who is always undermining him and undercutting him. And he lives with an enormous regret. He has a huge regret. When he was younger, his original assistant, who he paid with grape soda pop, went missing, and the town expected him to find her, and he never did. And it has been weighing on him this entire time. When another child in the town is murdered, he is tasked by the girlfriend to figure out what happened to this young man. And that's all I really want to say about the plot. We'll talk about it a little bit more in a bit, and we'll get to spoilers then. But man, I love this movie. I dug it. I really like the kind of weird tonal shifts that it takes between kind of a dark comedy slash straight up noir slash almost Wes Anderson-esque look at what happens when you grow up but you don't really grow up, which is like kind of a weird combination. It reminded me a little bit of The Wolf of Snow Hollow, which I don't think we did on this show. That came out last year. But again, another movie with a weird tonal mix of, you know, that is kind of more horror slash noir. This is more comedy slash noir. But Adam Brody is great in it. Adam Brody is really, really good in this, which surprised me because I am not a huge fan of The OC or really anything else he has done.
What happened to the other guy from The OC?
He's been on a bunch of stuff. Like, oh, really? he played Jim Gordon. He played Jim Gordon for 5 years on that Gotham show. Like, that show was on for like half a decade, apparently. Adam Brody is really, really good in it. All of the little details of how they build this guy's life up and how the things that he investigated in his childhood still like haunt the town. Like, just one small example. What was the name of the gang? It's like the Red Apple Gang or something like that.
Red Shoe Gang.
But like, it's basically like a gang of school toughs. Yeah. And it turns out they become like the actual drug pushers in town, right? And like, it's little weird things like that that just, and like, again, Adam Brody's performance in this is so good. Like, just so many kind of under the breath asides that made me laugh out loud. I mean, there is a C word dropped in this that like actually made me guffaw in my living room. Just
I missed that.
I think when? I missed that too.
Oh yeah, it's the bitchy goth assistant. He's talking to the woman who hired him.
Yes.
And she says that
Caroline,
she says that the assistant showed him the newspaper where he, after he has, spoiler, I guess we'll talk spoilers now, after he has been arrested for peeping, as a peeping Tom, because he's caught in the, he's not actually a peeping Tom, folks. Don't worry.
That's right.
But he's arrested for being a peeping Tom. And so he's in the newspaper again. And the assistant's like, you're finally in the newspaper again, like real bitchy. And then, the woman who has hired him says that she showed it to him, and just under his breath, he's like, "That fucking gun." And as longtime listeners of the show know, I'm writing that down because I'm going to beep it. But as longtime listeners know, I think that the United States is way too hung up on that word, and we need to be a little. It can be used for great humor, as it is in this movie. So I am big thumbs up on this. I thought it was entertaining and clever and like smart enough to not be it is not as complicated as Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, certainly. It reminded me a bit of Brick in the way it the mystery unfolds and the way it resolves. Loved it.
Thank you, Sonny.
Big thumbs up.
JVL, what did you think?
Well, you first, Victorino.
Okay.
How did you do on the quadrants?
Not bad. I think it gets a score of B. The plot's a B plus. I do have some,
really.
I do have some questions.
I'm a little interested. I'm kind of surprised that you were able.
I
to,
am too.
To,
well,
to
okay. Well, the B plus,
the
but there's a little asterisk.
Was Kate explaining to you as okay, you went?
So B plus, there's a little asterisk, and it's because the woman who gives me my injection, she was sitting next to me, and
your
and
nurse
she was actually my nurse. That's what it's going to become now. You know, I'm already there. Where I have the nurse, the live-in nurse, and it's my wife. And anyway, she was able to explain to me. And so there was a lot of me going, oh.
Huh?
What? Oh. And what did he
who's
say?
Who's that?
Sometimes there's also, what did he say? Okay.
Kate, and, who's that?
So I was like, okay, will we ever know who makes the origami, I asked, you know? Okay, so it's a great mystery. Duration is an A+. Oh, goodness, that's
solid,
a short movie.
Solid 100 minutes.
Yeah, violence, action, C. You know, I mean, there's some fighting going on. Sex nudity, I'll give it a B because they had the photo. That counts.
That has more nudity than literally the last, like, 10 movies we've seen.
That's exactly right.
And you're like, ah, B. This has more nudity than any movie that we've talked about since Showgirls.
We need to see, yeah, we need to see more of these movies. It's really something else. Okay, so it did fine. On the quadrants, film noir definitely. It's the music that made it film noir. It was very I loved
well,
the music
just
for
like
it.
The whole plot. I mean, it,
that too. Yeah.
I mean, it's very classic.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like it
around.
Is structured.
Right.
It is structured very explicitly mm-hmm. like a film noir.
It's vertigo-ish. Not... Also, you know, and so I mean, it's following a lot of following around. Again, like Sonny. I take back what I said about Adam Brody. We were watching that. Remember we did the Blockbuster documentary?
Yeah, the last Blockbuster.
And I made a joke. I said, clearly, he's not doing much these days because he's the only...
And remember, I was like, well, there's this movie, The Kid Detective, that everyone's talking about.
That was a call, you know, a little teaser there. Yeah, and so I take it all back because I thought he was fantastic in it and very funny. And you know what else? I had recently rewatched Thank You for Smoking, and he's great in that too, as the Hollywood, Rob Lowe's assistant.
Yeah,
it's like he clearly knows these people because he played it to a T, you know? So there was that. And I thought the same thing in Encyclopedia Brown. Actually, my wife said that. So then I took it from her. So also,
Lord knows you didn't read Encyclopedia
no,
I didn't,
of course
Brown
not.
As a child.
I'm picturing Caillou, but that's a different thing. It's
you were I
Carmen
mean, it's
San
not,
Diego.
This Encyclopedia Brown had nothing to do with Nazis.
No,
that's
right.
World War II. So
like, yeah.
If it had been like it had been Air Brown. Child detective.
Encyclopedia Braun. Yes. Okay. But also, you know what? Also kind of reminded me Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Bob Hoskins. Remember him? The down and out detective who was once great and everybody loved him. I love Jonathan's luck. But you know,
again,
and he
it's
was
another,
great.
Another noir.
And then down on his luck because of the booze. In the middle, it's dark. It's very dark, but again, there are very funny parts. And I'd have to say the funniest thing about this movie is the hiding in the closet. It just had me in stitches because they drew it out. It wasn't a short thing. It's a long segment.
No, you
were there.
The bit that made another part that, again, just made me guffaw out loud was when the little girl comes back to her room and starts playing Pong just like her brother. I was like, all right, that's a good bit.
Yeah,
that's
no,
a good bit. And Adam so Brody, and Adam Brody's in the closet. He's like, oh, come on. Because it's just like, it's perfect.
Right.
It's
two
really,
other thoughts.
Really well
it made, this sounds funny, but watching it, I had the sudden urge to pee. And the reason is, when I was a kid, you know, like you play hide and go seek, you would hide somewhere. And as soon as I found the hiding spot, immediately I'd have this urge that I'd have to use the bathroom because you get so nervous. And, you know, and I'm just relating like what it is. He has to stand there. He can't even bend. He has to stand there in the closet. And it's just awful. And the other thing is, unlike most movies where they tease you about getting caught and in the end he sneaks out some way, he finds a way out. No, it did not work out for him there in the end. So that was great. Anyway, I'm trying to think. Here, I'll look at my notes if I had anything else. But that is, I mean, I had a few questions and some spoiler alert stuff. I don't know if we want to do in the spoiler alert.
Yeah, come on. Right. Well, give me your questions. I'm interested in the Victorino questions.
I just want to say I am relieved that the killer or killer slash kidnapper turned out not to be Adam Brody himself. Like, they pulled a Silver Lake ending where, oh, it's him all along. You know, it's like, thank goodness it's not that.
That's not what happened in the Silver Lake.
He was killing the dogs. He was killing the dogs.
Well,
he
was, dogs, he, that's but he was not the girl.
The movie
it's
was
probably
about
the dog killer.
Wasn't that movie about who's the dog killer? That's the movie. Okay.
Sure. Okay.
All right. And then
you're right. This is nothing like Under the Silver Lake. See? That's 100. You nailed it there.
And
you got it.
And kind of a Chinatown ending there. Like, whose mother's daughter's father is you? What? Okay, yeah. So very weird. Not quite incest, but all right. Question. I have three questions.
Okay.
What's the deal with him crying and the parents acting all weird at the end? Obviously, he's having a breakdown. What's with the weird parents?
I mean,
his parents are bad parents.
Yeah,
they're
parents
weird
are,
all
it.
Throughout
that's
the.
It. His parents are not good parents, and he is not okay because he has spent his whole life, you know, like living with the guilt of
he
this
solved
thing.
The town's
and now it's
crime
now
of
it's
the
been
century.
Solved. Now it's been solved, but he still does not mm-hmm. feel better because his problems are internal. This is how it is like Under the Silver Lake. Under the Silver Lake is a movie about how. All of Andrew Garfield's problems come from within, and he tries to solve this great massive conspiracy, and he thinks that that's going to make his life better, is understanding the secrets of the world. But in fact, all of his problems are inside because he's a crazy person. And I don't think Adam Brody's character in this is crazy, but he has internal problems that he needs to solve.
Are you sure Andrew Garfield was in that movie? Anyway, question. Speaking of peeing. Was there some significance to him saying that his pee smells like fish? Is there some sort of thing going on here?
I thought it was just funny.
Okay.
Just funny.
All right. Line. Just checking. Because, you know, I thought it was no big deal with the grape soda, but then it popped out in the end. There's the grape soda, huh? Mm. Okay. Well, and the last one was my joke about, do we ever find out? I thought the principal was making the origami. No.
Yes. The principal's the one making the origami.
Yeah.
I thought that, and then I thought.
I mean, he's.
It's
he's
not
making
her
the origami,
it's not,
and then
it's not she in the shed.
She might be making it as well at this point because that's all she does now. But I'm pretty sure he's bringing her the origami in the shed.
Well, I mean, oh. Okay.
Am I wrong? Have I misread that?
I don't know.
JBL?
I don't believe so. I believe that is correct.
All right. I thought she was making them, and then he's bringing them to.
No, I don't. Her. I don't think so. Okay.
No, because there was one in her locker, remember?
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, JVL.
Is Adam Brody like a bizarro world Topher Grace? It feels like they have a lot of the same thing going on.
But darker.
Yeah, darker.
Topher Grace was great in Good Company, but yeah.
I didn't like it as much as you did, Sonny. I didn't dislike it, and I really liked the third act, because in the third act, it does bring all the different strands it's been playing with together in, I think, a very satisfying way.
Mm-hmm.
But my problem with it is that it felt really derivative.
And of
a bunch of different things, which I will go through in a moment. But it felt derivative and of things, all of which were a lot better. Mm-hmm. So it takes, I mean, his detective work is basically like the detective work in The Big Lebowski, right? Where it's just a comedy of errors and stuff that, you know, when the dude goes and tries to find, you know, he's like, oh, I'm going to find out what note this guy took, you know, when he's out in the desert and he puts a piece of paper over and then traces it with the pencil, and all it is a doodle of a dick. So it's got that like lousy, you know, bad detective part to it. It has the high school noir stuff like Brick. It has a lot of it. I thought a lot about Under the Silver Lake while we were watching this, just in the sense of you're in this lived in world where everything is just off by like 30 degrees, you know, it doesn't quite work. you have the unfulfilled promise of a child genius like Royal Tenenbaums, and what it owes everything to is Veronica Mars. And I don't think either of you guys ever watched Veronica Mars.
No, I never watched it.
And I will tell you, as sure as I'm sitting here, that Evan Morgan, who wrote and directed this, knew exactly what he was doing, because and his homage and his tip of the cap here is having Caroline drive a Chrysler LeBaron. And the Veronica Mars, her car in the series was she drove around in a Chrysler LeBaron. So this is all of which is to say that
wasn't Veronica Mars like actually in high school? Wasn't she?
Yeah, she was solving crimes right. in high school. It actually a lot of like weird sex stuff with people pregnant with kids they shouldn't have been having was happening as well.
Also happens in Brick, remember? Like, this is, again, like, it, I feel like right. when you're making a movie like this with high schoolers, that is the go-to solution and problem, which is, like, weird in and of itself. But
all I'm saying is that all of these things are better than this. Mm. Like, this is a B, and all of these other things are, in their various ways, A to A+, or, you know, A- to A+.
No.
Pieces of storytelling. And so I ultimately was not super satisfied. You know, like, it was fine. I didn't dislike it. As I said, I think the third act works nicely. But in the genre of high schoolish noir detective stuff or quirky, weird, dark comedy slash detective stuff, it just feels like second-rate material.
See, here's.
Well, I guess it helps that I never saw Brick.
Yeah. Well, so let me. Brick is the movie that kept coming to mind while I was watching this, and I have to say I like this more than Brick. Even if I will like totally agree with you that it is not original like Brick or whatever. Because Brick is.
When did that come out? Who's in it? What
Brick? Brick stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Oh. It's Ryan Johnson's first movie. He made it for like $300,000 or something. And it's good. It's like a very good cheap low budget movie, right? It's a perfectly fine noir, and it's very clever. And my problem with Brick is that it relies on that cleverness to an aggravating degree. Like the whole, you know, high school kids talking in the lingo, you know, that they're using that they never really explain. Where, you know, and using, oh God, there's a very specific phrase that they use that every time I hear it, it makes me roll my eyes because nobody would ever talk like that. And like, it's the sort of thing that like, when you read it on the page, I'm sure it looks great. When a character says it out loud, you're like, it's knives in my eyes, right? Because one of the characters has a hangover, has a headache. He's like, I got knives in my eyes. And every time I hear that line, I'm like, the fuck is he talking? What is knives in my, oh, he's got a headache. Okay, fine. And that's what I don't like about Brick. It is overly clever, and this movie is not overly clever. It feels more real, more you know.
It's less contrived, I think, in that way. This does have something to say in that it is a tremendous indictment of adults.
Yes,
every adult in this movie is a failure at their job. The police can't catch. Either they, you know, they didn't catch the kidnapper and they aren't able to catch the murderer. His parents, Adam Brody's parents, are terrible parents. And the whole town has layered expectation. First of all, they have indulged this kid who it is clear was not a great detective. He was not actually Encyclopedia Brown. He was a mildly clever kid. And the town indulged and fed this idea of precocity in ways which ultimately were wildly destructive to him. And I found that,
this is
again,
why he cries at the end.
Right. Well, he's a tragic character because he was not that smart. He wasn't a great detective. And it's one of these things which, when parental expectations and the expectations of adults around you start rolling downhill at a young age, it becomes a snowball and it becomes impossible to stop. And all of a sudden, like, nobody realizes that you can't fucking get into medical school. And, you know, I'm sorry, but I couldn't get in. And what do you want me to do about that? You know, or like I couldn't solve the case. You know, like what? And then you wind up as, you know, a broken shell of a person by the time you're 32 or something. So I'm just saying that.
What are we talking about here?
Eventually, he gets to take a week at the beach and he's happy again.
I'm just saying that I do actually appreciate that it has something. The movie has a larger thing to say about it, mm-hmm. which I appreciated. That said, I did keep thinking to myself, I kind of would rather watch Under the Silver Lake again.
Oof.
Because it's working in the same.
Great movie.
You know what, Victorino? Great. You're going to watch it sober one of these days, oh, and you're going to love it.
What, the guy who is the songwriter guy, he wrote all the songs.
Yeah. The devil?
The composer.
What's happening there?
What was happening there? So it was awesome.
That was the best scene in the movie. I don't know.
That's the best scene in the movie.
Serino, I don't.
Was he killing the dogs?
Because you were drunk.
I'm like, that's the guy who's killing the dogs?
Okay. I literally, the other, like a month or two ago, I just turned that scene on Amazon Prime. I like fast forwarded it to it. I was like, I want to watch the songwriter scene in Under the Silver Lake because it's that good.
Yeah. I tell you what, something else about this movie is that it is essentially a public works program for repertory actors in Ontario. One of the first title cards on it is like Ontario Heritage Production, filmed in Canada, and this was the Canadian government
a lot of
just
tax credits
shoveled money into this production, and clearly one of the strings on it was that every actor aside from Adam Brody has to be
Canadian,
local. And you go and look at a handful of boots in this movie. Everybody except for Adam Brody is a local Ontario actor. They have almost no credits to their name, and I thought it was actually the girl who plays Caroline, who has a very, she must be a Quebecois because she has a very Frenchy sounding name. I thought she was great, mm-hmm. sort of understated.
She looked very high school.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just gonna move on from that. I found this movie
very instructional, do's and don'ts about all sorts of things. I mean, it was scarier than you have no idea how scary it was for me to watch this movie.
I love the goth assistant who was on Veep.
Yeah, she was the daughter of Veep.
She was the daughter of Selena Meyer.
It took me a while to figure
for like
it
five
out.
Or 6 years. Yeah, it did it me as well. Yeah. I was like,
who is she?
I know her from something, and she's very funny in this. Very good. Not a Quebecer, I don't.
No,
think.
Well, no.
You know what? I feel like it lost a little bit of, there was one plot thread that I was more interested in them spending some more time with, and that was the ego boost drug that he buys, and I kind of wanted more from that because
the scene where he goes and
bitch slaps the, like, you know, the 16 year old druggy
kids on stoops.
That was so great.
That was so great.
That Victorino, there's your violence.
Unexpected violence against children is always A+.
I'll tell you what
again,
else.
Like Under the Silver Lake.
Yes.
I'll tell you what else I forgot about, of course, in terms of violence. The ending when the culprit decides to stab himself in the heart. I was expecting it right for the jugular.
Oh. Instead he I was like, and he does it twice.
It took me a second to realize what was happening there, because at first I thought he was setting Adam Brody up. I thought he was going to kill himself and, like, you know, frame.
Well, you know what I thought?
Please, detective for it.
Don't grab the knife. Don't try to save his life at this point and pull the knife out. Your fingerprints are all over it, you know.
But that moment is a wonderful tell, right? So because Adam Brody, this is again, when I say I thought it really stuck the landing in the third act. So his character he solves this mystery by realizing that he was never a great detective. But the clue which has him figure this out is that he solved this other case wrong because he wasn't a good detective.
Right, the fundraiser.
And the only reason the principal did this was because the principal was worried that this kid mm-hmm. was some sort of genius.
Right.
And as soon as he saw that he wasn't and that it was all a fraud.
Yeah.
Then he was like, oh, great, I can go abduct this kid.
I believe his line to the principal's line was, I just wanted to see what I was dealing with here or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I just think that's a nice turn of storytelling, having the character solve a case by realizing his own failings.
Yeah.
So I thought that was, you know, nice. As I said, perfectly fine. I just, I'd rather watch Brick or Under the Silver Lake or a random episode of Veronica Mars.
Okay. That's all. Do we have any other thoughts on Kid Detective?
No.
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 Okay.
Good movie. People should watch it.
I liked it.
Fine movie.
I liked
Fine
it.
Fine movie.
I've got a Spirit of the Week.
Ooh. Ooh.
Roku Gin. Look at this. Japanese gin.
Japanese gin.
It is from the same people who give us, I'm going to get this wrong, but it's from Suntory, who also does Japanese whiskey.
Good times. Make Suntory. It.
Exactly. Suntory and it gets even times. Better. So a writer, this is some time ago now, had interviewed me about something related to vodka. And then we ended up having a conversation about what else is he like these days and different things. And I told him I was really into gin. And he says, Japanese gin is really good. I said, I had no idea. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised they do everything. So I thought, no. And he says, you know, and the one he mentioned said, what can I get here? Because I'm not in like New York and, you know, I live in Virginia. It's the ABC store. It's state controlled. You're going to have only a handful of selections of these things. And he's mentioned Roku. That's the one you could find. I said, I don't know. I don't know if I've seen it there. So I went to ABC and in fact, they do have it. However, more importantly, this was given to us, given to me, by Laura Orland over at Savona Communications. They represent Roku. So when I got their email saying Roku is this new gin, not this new gin, but it's a gin. It's great to celebrate. Cherry blossoms, the whole deal. It's happening now because Roku is Japanese for six, and they have six botanicals, including the Sakura cherry blossom. So it was this whole theme thing. And I said, hey, I'd love to try some. And so they sent over a bottle. So thank you very much to Laura Orland for that. It is
how do you pronounce it again, Victoria?
Roku. Congratulations, 15,000.
Number one lucky gin.
You make me laugh.
Save some of that for Mortal Kombat.
Okay, thank you. Yes, but if you like Japanese whiskey, I'm telling you, this is really great Japanese gin. It's clear, crisp, refreshing. The whole.
Are you drinking it straight up, Victoria?
No, I'm having a not after last night. I'm having a little gin and tonic. It is. It's great. As you know, the Japanese, anything that they do is great. So, you know, electronics, alcohol, battleships. Okay. Also, again, from the House of Suntory, speaking of which, this is for real to our listeners. For a limited time, if you go to drizzly.com, Drizzly, of course, where you can order yourself, drizzly.com, and you enter promo code SUNTORYTIME, all one word, SUNTORYTIME, you will get $5 off your first order. Of Roku gin. Give it a shot. I am
specifically Roku gin.
Yes,
I
have
to order the Roku
I have never
gin.
Been more proud of a promo code.
Suntory time.
In the history of our show.
Will it work for any Suntory whiskey? Can I, if I get.
I'm not
if
sure.
I wanna,
I'm okay. not sure, but Suntory time is the promo code. And I'm a real believer in this product. So.
Do you like it more than the Plymouth?
That's a hard one.
That's
it's English and Japanese.
You know?
So
like
listen,
the,
my
like it's hard.
My father-in-law loves gin and tonics.
Yes.
Should I pick up a bottle of this for him?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. I mean, honestly, if it's you know,
should I go to Drizzly or should I just go to my ABC store?
What's that? What's that code again?
Suntory time promo.
No, this is a serious question. Should I just go to ABC store or should I like where will it be cheaper?
I have no idea because I didn't get it
can
on Drizzly.
Can you even get? Can you even get Drizzly in Virginia? Does Virginia
oh, because they have like these strict transferring laws.
I can get it here in Texas, the land of freedom. But yeah, you know, yeah, I don't know about yeah. I don't know about you guys. Know.
Well, there you go. Do we have any other sort of corrections? Shout outs? Everything? Go?
Shout out to my wife for letting me
go
away.
Oh.
And of course to
thank you, Shannon.
And listener Dan. That is all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, compliments, tweet us at SunnyBunch, at Victorina Mattis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on Patreon. Just go to subbeacon.com. We are there. Tell your friends. Until next time. Do you have anything?
I was going to tell a mask story, and then we got right. distracted.
All right, well, I got something too. You could tell me, tell us your mask story, Sonny.
So I was at the playground with the kids today, and all of a sudden,
I hope you're
youngest...
wiping down the play equipment after if the children touched it, because
absolutely
that's
not.
How COVID that is transmitted great. From fomites outdoors.
We were outdoors, so I paper. Was not wearing a mask because you can't catch it.
And you're in Texas.
Not a thing. And I'm in Texas, with the land of freedom, where I can get liquor delivered to me maskless while I'm swigging from Bob Bottle. Anyway, we're at the playground with the kids. Youngest makes what I like to call the poop face. And I don't know, I'm sure you guys remember that as the, just like, kind of like wide-eyed, like,
I did that this morning.
And I was like, oh no, Charlie, do you have to go to the bathroom? And he goes, and it was too late. He was already mid bath. So I'm like, I pick him up and I run him into we're like right next to a rec center. I run him inside the rec center, go to the bathroom, you know, finish up, we get everything taken care of. And as I'm coming out, again, with my child who I'm carrying, like, over my shoulder, like a sack of potatoes, you know, the lady at the front desk is like, just next time, make sure you wear a mask when you go into the bath. And I'm just like, lady, I'm fully vaccinated. I don't care. But also, like, I'm in an empty building. There's literally one other person in this building. And I'm going into the bathroom. And I was just like, you know what? Give it a rest. All right. I didn't say any of this. I just said, yeah, okay, sure. Next time I'm running in here with my pooping child, I will make sure to, you know, put the goddamn mask on. But, like, I'm done with it. I'm done. I'm done with all that.
Good for you.
Anyway, JVL.
So Flash had himself a day last Sunday. I am watching this streaming because the games stream. So I am sitting at the beach watching this. And the opposing team's parents are all standing around next to the camera. And so I am getting there. It's like hearing the visiting team's commentary. And so Flash goes 3 2/3 innings, 10 strikeouts, no hits, no runs.
Is he on a pitch count? Is that why he comes out at 3 2/3 instead of going all four? Or?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it like that. I'll just tell you, having watching a lot of baseball, that doesn't happen, right? You don't see kids going out and striking out 10 over the course of less than four innings. This is not a thing which we see anywhere we go and travel. And yet the other team's parents are just like yapping at their kids. Yeah, all you got to do is put a barrel on it. All you got to, because you can't understand. Nobody puts balls in play, right? They don't foul balls off. They don't like, they just stand up there and fan because nobody can catch up to them. And one kid nearly put a ball in play. And one kid hit a routine pop fly off of him, which, you know, the center fielder just like stood right where, you know, came right to him and he caught it and was out. And this other team's parents started cheering like they just won game 7 of the World Series. And I thought to myself, what's wrong with you people? Like, just appreciate greatness.
Well, they're just cheering for their children.
No, there's a lot of like, he can't stop you. You know,
they're trying to give their children, you know, confidence. What are they supposed to say? Just don't die. Don't get hit by a pitch.
No, look, you say, you know, yeah, good hack. You know, you'll catch him. But I'm just saying, when I see a kid on the ball field make a great play, I don't care whose team is. I'm just like, wow, that's awesome. At least no appreciation.
So you wanted them to start cheering for Flash. You wanted them to start doing the slow clap when he went off the field.
I'm just saying that, you know, you can at least appreciate and not go into this weird kabuki theater of like, yeah, you got him. He can't hold you. But I'm just like, he can't hold you. This kid's given up 7 hits lifetime. What do you mean?
They don't know that.
Like, yeah,
I'm not
again,
even sure what that means, but you know, I'm just gonna...
anyone who's there watching understands, like, after about a, you know, 5 seconds what's going on. That's all. I found it annoying, and I was very happy that I was not there at the game because I would have gotten like annoyed.
Would you have gotten rowdy? Would you have started counter cheering? Like every time he strikes a kid out, just being like, yeah, send him back.
No, because that's
send
again,
that
that's,
failure back to the
because
the dugout.
That's bad, right? I mean, I'm sorry. You Never mind.
I don't understand. I am confused, frankly.
It is 12-year-old baseball, and you're supposed to be happy for all the kids, and you're supposed
to celebrate. Nobody's happy for
all
the kids. They're happy for you're happy for your children.
No, I'm happy for all the kids. I love it when the kids. I love it when the kids.
I refereed a lot of youth soccer games growing up. And let me tell you, I never met a side that was happy for the other side to score a goal.
All right, so
never happened.
I would have liked to see you refereeing soccer. That
2 weeks ago, when
wonderful.
All right, so here's what I'm talking about. So 2 weeks ago, Flash is playing third base, and a line drive is hit to his left. He dives. I sent you guys a copy of the play. Did I send you the video for this?
Yeah.
So he dives to his left. Comes up with it after spinning around, and from the seated position on the ground, guns the runner down at first base. And when this happened, everybody in that field lost their mind because it was so cool to see. Like, the other kids are like up on the fence, the dugout, banging on the fence because it was awesome. Both sets of parents were like thrilled to see it. The umpire
it's
tipped,
not what I heard.
The
it's
umpire
not what I heard on the video.
Tipped his hat.
That we watched.
The umpire tipped his hat. To Flash, because that's just
they threw a parade down Main
I'm
Street.
I'm just saying, when kids do
Max
cool
Scherzer
stuff,
came down and said, "Hey, the job is yours."
I'm just saying,
Brad Pitt was like, "We're not going to take you right now." As because
oh, for
this
saber
is
metrics?
Not how Moneyball
yeah,
works.
Moneyball, yeah,
this
Moneyball,
is not how Moneyball yeah. works. But we're gonna keep our eyes on you.
I'm just saying that it's people should appreciate greatness.
Right,
I would think that you, Sonny, of all people.
I mean, if I was watching, I would be cheering for Flash because he's the son of my friend, and I would be booing the other children.
No,
if he struck out.
Don't boo.
I would be.
This is
boo,
what I'm saying. You don't boo
get
any of
the
kids.
Get back to the bench, loser.
I'm sure it's fine
with my big league chew.